We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I'm Shanae Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
This is the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I'm Eric Falkman from the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour and the FFPC. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Falkman and the FFPC on Twitter at FFPC. This week, I'm speaking with Clay Corcoran, a previous league champ in both the FFPC main event and the Football Guys Players Championship, as well as the sixth place overall finisher in the 2017 FPC. His career winnings total nearly $20,000. In this episode, we talk about whether he thinks the Bills' running back depth chart flip-flops, the sudden re-rise of Kalen Ballage, the Buccaneers' failure to show up against the Saints, and much more. Before we do get into the show, I want to remind everyone that you can get a listeners-only 30% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of the RotoViz content and tools, and it supports the podcast channel. The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season-opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at BetOnline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier. Like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. Now, without further ado, here is $20,000 high-stakes fantasy football winner, Clay Corcoran. On the RotoViz high-stakes lowdown this week, the 2017 sixth-place overall finisher in the Football Guys Players Championship. Joining me once again for a conversation, it is Clay Corcoran. Clay, welcome in. Thanks for doing the show.
Thanks for having me, Eric. I really appreciate it.
One of the things, and I feel like any time we ever talk or any time we ever have you as a guest on one of these FFPC podcasts, I feel like the thing I always want to reintroduce the listeners to, or at least introduce them if they've never heard an interview with you before, was your incredible 27 march to the Football Guys Players Championship overall title. And I just said it, you fell just short. You placed 6th overall, which, you know, still beating out several thousand teams is insane. But what set you apart from many of the other players in that particular year's competition was your draft. Can you tell us what happened that night and then what happened going forward?
Yeah, sure. So to start out with, I usually sign up for drafts that are at 10 p.m. or later because I've got a couple of youngsters that, you know, I need to make sure are in bed. And that particular draft, I had just about ready to log into the draft room, and my son comes out and tells me that he vomited all over himself. So I had to kind of, you know, make a life decision at that point. Well, do I say, mom can take care of you, or do I say, well, you go ahead and draft, or do I say, well, yeah, let's take care of him. So I made a life decision, and of course, you know, I went and helped my son, you know, gave him a bath, and mom went and changed the sheets and everything. And by the time we were all done, I checked the draft room, and it was, I think, in the 11th or 12th round by that point. And I'm too lazy to set my pre-draft ranks like I know you should. So it went totally off by what the computer gave me. And the computer actually gave me really good picks, especially in the first three rounds. I looked this up today because, you know, it's been 3 years ago now, but I did look it up today, and I got Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, and Todd Gurley in the first three rounds. And that's Todd Gurley in 2017, not 2020, and Antonio Brown in 2017, not 2020. And, that was the center of my team were those three guys. I got some pretty decent later picks, too, and then I made some pretty good pickups. But, you know, after I thought, I missed the draft, and I thought, well, that team's trash. You know, there's no way I'm going to win anything in that team. And ended up, you know, not only winning my league individually, but, you know, for a short period of time in week 15, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I was in first place overall.
Oh, yeah.
In week 15. And I was, totally pumped. Then Antonio Brown got an injury in week 15. That hurt. And my quarterback, Cam Newton, who'd been playing good, really good all throughout the playoffs. And then in week 16, you know, he had kind of a dud game and ended up falling from 1st to 6th. But, you know, still, for a team that I never even drafted to come back and win, you know, I think I can't remember how much for sure, but I think it was over $10,000 when it was all said and done that I won. You know, I guess my advice for people, if you miss a draft or if you have something like that happen, just don't think that, you know, it's a lost season, because it definitely wasn't for me. And, that turned out pretty good.
Yeah, it's one of those things, too, where it's like it's a testament to your lineup setting skills, your blind bidding skills, your waiver skills, you know, everything like that to make sure that
you know, that this team was properly cared for during the season. You know, a lot of people say, and this is my advice to everybody, anytime you're in a league and you see somebody auto-draft the team and you're ripping on the guy for, oh, who spends $350 for a draft and doesn't show up? Well, life does get in the way. And just because it's an auto-drafted team, it doesn't necessarily mean it's done, you know. And you are living proof of that, just 1 week away from winning a six-figure grand prize in an auto-drafted team. Still incredible, sixth place overall. And kudos to you, sir. Really good stuff there in 2017. Moving forward to 2020, we now have a pretty good sample size of fantasy football for this season. We've got 9 weeks in. When you look back, Clay, on your pre-draft evaluation of certain players and players you targeted and players you got in drafts or avoided who've been busts, who's a player that you got really right and who is a player that you missed on and got wrong?
Well, I've got a couple guys that I'm going to give you for each way. So for players that I really got right, so I split leagues with my buddy Jordan. I got to give him a shout-out. We do a couple of the FFPC leagues together. And, you know, last year, my late round target was Devontae Parker, who worked out really good. And so as we were going into drafts this year, you know, he's like, who's your Devontae Parker for this year? And I said, Corey Davis. And that worked out really good up until last week when he scored, you know, 0 points against the Bears. But up until that point, he'd been doing really good. So that's the one I nailed. The one that I avoided purposefully, and it seems to be working out for me so far, is Kenyon Drake. I just thought, you know, the stats were too good to be true at the end of the year last year with Arizona, and I just didn't see how he's going to keep that going. And now he's hurt on top of that. So that's one that, you know, I got right as far as not drafting. Now, two guys I missed on. First of all, was a guy that my buddy Jordan was kind of high on, and I said, no, I don't like him. He's injury prone. He's on a new team. I don't trust him with Stephon Diggs. I really wish I would have listened to Jordan on that one because, you know, I went with guys like T.Y. Hilton and Julian Edelman when I could have Stephon Diggs. And, you know, that's definitely hurt my teams. And then the guy that I was really high on, and I have him in pretty much half of my draft that I did, and I'm so disappointed in him, is David Johnson. I just really thought that offense, that he just fit that offense, and he was going to have a comeback year, and it just hasn't worked out that way. Now he's hurt, Duke Johnson starting, so that just kind of sucks. But, you know, it's luck of the draw. You know, a lot of fantasy football, in my opinion, is just kind of luck. But that's one guy I definitely missed on.
I'm just curious because, certainly, and by the way, we're recording this on Wednesday night, so very limited injury report information coming in so far. But if David Johnson is indeed out, do you like Duke Johnson as a solid flex start at Cleveland on Sunday, Clay?
Definitely. I mean, he's going against his old team. He's got to be out for redemption. And, you know, I think, you know, Duke Johnson's a pretty good player. I just, you know, I don't know if he can handle 20 carries a game like David Johnson can, but I definitely see him scoring in the FFPC format probably 15, 20 points or so. And I think he's good for a touchdown and probably 5 to 6 catches and maybe 50 to 70 yards or so. So definitely, I was searching for him on the waivers and he's pretty much gone in all my leagues. So if he's out there, I'd put a bid on him if I was you.
I it's so funny because I went through all my leagues yesterday to see if anybody had dropped Mike Davis after Christian McCaffrey came back, you know, hoping that he was out there. And I did a league search. Sure enough, he was available in one of my leagues, and it was a best ball where, you know, obviously you can't pick up anybody, and he's just sitting out on the waiver wire. You know, it's, I mean, it is what it is. But I got excited when I saw that he was available in one league. Sticking to AFC backfields, Buffalo, how likely is it that Devin Singletary is now the backup to Zach Moss going forward after what we saw against Seattle this past week?
Well, yeah, so You know, the thing is, I drafted Singletary in, I think, three leagues, and I own Moss in zero. So I hope that's not the case. But, I mean, if I'm looking at how they looked against Seattle, the reality is that is probably the case. I think, you know, Moss has looked a lot better than Singletary. Singletary's probably still got some value as far as PPR, but goal line carries and just who looks like the better runner to me is definitely Moss. I wish I would have listened to some of the experts in the preseason and taken him, but I didn't.
And it's tough, too, because, you know, it's not like Moss is getting 90% of the touches there. You know, it is still a split, but it's a split that, you know, especially when you're trying to make up ground, you know, to try to win $500,000, Devin Singletary is probably not going to help you do that with 35 or even 40% of the touches in Buffalo. And I think, like, you know, you're better off doing some shoot for the moon lottery ticket. I mean, obviously you're going to play Singletary over guys like, you know, backup running backs for the Titans or the Dolphins or anything like that. But it's tough to start Singletary right now. And I think Moss, yeah, it just makes such a better choice. Why do you think that you did end up, you know, now, yeah, hindsight's 2020, but why did you think that you liked Singletary and weren't necessarily as concerned with Zach Moss's presence as a lot of other people were?
Well, I'd watched Singletary last year, and he looked really good. And then, you know, they got rid of Gore, and I thought Singletary was going to be the man. I didn't know much about Zach Moss going into this year, so I just kind of anticipated Singletary's going to be the man. Moss is a rookie, and that was kind of my basis for that, but definitely didn't work out that way. You know, Singletary hasn't really panned out to be the guy that I thought he would be this year, which luckily I didn't draft him on a whole bunch of leagues, but I do have him on a few. If he's there in the sixth or seventh round, I'm going to draft him, but I wasn't going to overdraft him. And he was there in a couple leagues, sixth or seventh round, which is why I ended up with him. But again, you know, I didn't have Moss in any of my leagues. I did not have him on my radar at all.
Yeah, no, you and me both. I don't think I drafted Zach Moss anywhere this year either. I'm just curious, you know, this is more of like a drafting philosophy question, but when you do several leagues and you and Jordan get together and you tell each other who you like in each round and you have certain targets, I don't necessarily want to focus this question on the latter half of drafts because everybody's got their favorites from round 11 on, and then that's fine. If you load up on, you know, you get this guy in 80% of your drafts and you're sinking a 15th round pick into him, no big deal. But I'm curious, in like the first 10, the first 5 or 6 rounds, are you always trying to diversify on that, Clay, or do you not mind loading up on one specific player early in your drafts if you really believe in him?
I think that we try to diversify as much. You know, I don't want the same player on every single team because injuries are just too unpredictable. But at the same time, if there's a guy that I really, really think is going to be, you know, a round or two ahead of his value, then I don't mind drafting him on every single team that we have. There wasn't really a guy like that, except for maybe David Johnson in this case this year that I ended up with half of my leagues. But I guess that's kind of my philosophy going into that.
Clay, I think the thing is too, as we get deeper into the season, running backs get more and more interesting to talk about. You just said it. I mean, injuries happen all the time to everyone. One of the injuries that is affecting the Washington backfield, ironically, is their quarterback. Kyle Allen, yeah, goes down, and now Alex Smith was checking down whenever he could in the game on Sunday to J.D. McKissic. He gets 14 targets. It's crazy. Was this just a one-off game? Or do you believe that as long as Alex Smith is quarterbacking the Washington football team, J.D. McKissic is basically a slam-dunk top 20 FFPC running back every week going forward with all those targets?
Well, I don't know about slam dunk per se, but you know, my thought process is, and I don't watch the Washington football team's practices by any means, but you know, I think that Alex Smith being a second stringer, practicing with the second stringers, which is probably J.D. McKissic, since Antonio Gibson is, you know, the first stringer, they kind of build a repertoire, some chemistry, and that's what you saw Sunday is, you know, Alex Smith is going to pass to the guy he trusts, and that's right now McKissic. You know, as Alex Smith practices with the first stringers going on, you know, progressively throughout the rest of the season, I don't know if McKissic is going to put up the same numbers that, you know, I don't think he's going to have 14 targets every week like he did this last week, but, you know, I can see him having 5 to 7 targets a week and you know, being viable for a flex position. But I still think Antonio Gibson is going to be the man there for the rest of the year, you know, once they're practicing together and Alex Smith kind of develops some chemistry with Antonio Gibson, I think that's he's going to kind of take over for McKissic. But then again, you never know, you know, like you just said, injuries are unpredictable. Antonio Gibson could go down with an injury and McKissic could be the man here on out. And, you know, that could be very valuable going into the playoffs here too.
A big-time injury in Los Angeles that has made unpredictable the word to know in the Chargers' backfield was Austin Eckler going down, because it's been crazy since then. You've had Justin Jackson. Yeah. You've had Joshua Kelly. You've had Kalen Ballage. We saw this last week. We saw Troy Maine Pope have a big week 8. So I'm just kind of curious, and it looks like Justin Jackson is probably leaning towards not playing again against the Dolphins this week. I bring this up because now Pope looks like he practiced on Wednesday, so I think he could be in the mix. The Chargers seem hell-bent on not giving Josh Kelly the lion's share of the carries. You talked about Duke Johnson going up against his old team. Well, Kalen Ballage is going to be going up against his old team here too, assuming he does get lifted from the practice squad to the active roster. How confident would you feel in flexing out Ballage in a quote-unquote revenge game in this matchup?
Well, you know, the thing about the Chargers is they are just kind of like the New England Patriots have been for years. You just never know who's going to get the touches for running backs. You know, I've kind of fallen for it, and I picked up Joe Kelly, and then I picked up Justin Jackson. Last week, I put some small bids in for Pope because he looked like the best running back. And then I didn't even know Ballage. You know, I probably should have known this, but I didn't even know Ballage was even on the Chargers roster.
Yeah, me neither. I had no idea. It totally caught me off guard.
And then I'm watching the stat lines come through on Sunday. I'm like, Kalen Ballage is getting all the carries for the Chargers. What's up with that? So next week they'll probably bring LT back. So I'm not going to put a lot of stock into Ballage, and he'll probably, you know, score 30 points because of that reason. But for me, I'm avoiding the Chargers backfield for the rest of the year just because it's just too unpredictable.
Talking about Christian McCaffrey in the offseason and even now, I watched a lot of people chime in on Twitter. I talked to a lot of high-stakes players on the high-stakes fantasy football hour on the Roto-Viz high-stakes lowdown. We talked about this McCaffrey thing. Some people, and I don't think this was a majority. I don't even think it was a large plurality. I think it was a certain section of people said, I'm not taking McCaffrey 101. I'm going to take Barkley. I'm going to take Elliott. I'm going to take Kamara. I'm going to take, you know, Michael Thomas or any of these guys because I believe that McCaffrey's workload over the last 2 years, there's no way that anybody can sustain this and not get hurt. I don't want to tip my hand on where I'm leaning. Well, you know, quite frankly, I'm not sure which way I'm leaning because I go back and forth on this. But Clay, do you feel like we should have seen these injuries coming? I mean, he has the big time, you know, high ankle sprain earlier in the season. He comes back for one game. Now he goes down with a shoulder injury. Could be a significant shoulder injury. Do you think we should have seen these coming, given what we've seen? Or do you believe that, you know, this is just coincidence? It's a tough position to play in the NFL. Eventually, all these running backs are going to get dinged up. Where do you fall in this whole McCaffrey situation?
Well, yeah, first of all, you know, I watch McCaffrey play, and he's very talented. But he just doesn't seem like the guy that can handle these continuous touches to me. He's not that big. So, you know, I think Carolina had a really good plan going into Sunday's game. And, you know, I was reading about it Sunday morning, and they're like, yeah, you know, we're going to ease McCaffrey back in, and then we're going to alternate series with Mike Davis. And it's going to be about 50-50 between Mike Davis and McCaffrey. And I, you know, I was like, oh, that's a pretty good plan, but, you know, for a plan to work, you have to stick with it. And they obviously didn't stick with it. And McCaffrey got, you know, I don't know how many touches, but he had, you know, 10 receptions or whatever and 20 carries. So, you know, that's hard to put that on a player coming back from 6 weeks of not playing. I think that was a mistake on Carolina's part, and I think that's why he ended up with a shoulder injury. Now, you know, speaking on the benefit of me, I have Mike Davis, the McCaffrey owner in my best FFPC league, did not draft Mike Davis, so I have Mike Davis as a backup, and I don't have Christian McCaffrey, so, you know, I'm smiling from ear to ear, yeah, hearing that McCaffrey might be out for a long period of time, and I'm going to plug Mike Davis in there and roll with him. But, you know, I think I just don't see how he could stand up to the amount of carries and the receptions he was getting the last couple of years, and I think that's proven here. But one thing I want to say while we're talking about McCaffrey is, you know, I'm a big Husker Nation fan, and his younger brother Luke McCaffrey plays for the Huskers right now. He's a freshman, and he's been looking. He looks like Christian McCaffrey almost on steroids right now. And,
wow.
You know, if you want to see some talent, you know, check out the game this week. I think he's going to start a quarterback for Nebraska this week. I think they're going to – I'm not entirely sure about that, but he's a freshman, and they have a senior, Martinez, who just hasn't really panned out this year. And, man, he looks so talented. He's just awesome. They don't know what to do with him. He's listed as a quarterback slash wide receiver slash running back on the Nebraska roster, and I think he's going to be the man. And I'm thinking even Heisman potential coming up in a couple of years. So if you want to watch something interesting on Saturday, tune into the Nebraska Penn State game and watch his brother Luke McCaffrey play.
Boy, wouldn't that be crazy if Luke McCaffrey sends Penn State to 0-4? It'd be incredible. And I know, you know, his other brother Dylan is a quarterback for Michigan, but I believe he opted out for the 2020 season, so we won't see him till 2021. But I've heard people say that Dylan McCaffrey is the best one. I've heard that Luke McCaffrey is turning more heads in college than Christian, and Dylan did their freshman years too. So it's going to be crazy to watch it, and we'll see what position he plays in the pros. You know, if he's a quarterback or a running back or receiver, he should be impactful at any of those, Clay.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, I can see him being a first rounder in, you know, probably the 2024 draft, I guess. But I can see him being a first rounder and you know, fantasy lineups in 2025, 2026. He'll probably go to a first round wherever he goes. So, I mean, he's got a ton of talent, and he's exciting to watch. So
yeah.
I'm very, very interested to see how that pans out.
Poor Max McCaffrey, the oldest one, was like a practice squad guy, receiver for like the Packers and the Jaguars and several other teams, and never really panned out. But that happens. I mean, Cooper Manning was the oldest Manning brother, and we never talk about him either. It's just sometimes that's the way it works out. Let's shift to Tampa and talk about it. You know, so bizarre because, and this is how you know, I said this on one of my local radio shows here in Northeast Wisconsin. I said, here's how you know it's 2020. When the Sunday night game between the NFC Titans, New Orleans Saints, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers is a rout that's over with in the early second quarter, 38-3 final score, total snooze fest of a game. And then you get the winless Jets and the, you know, 2-5 or 3-5, whatever they were, New England Patriots going on Monday Night Football where nobody's excited to watch it. I was on the edge of my seat to the final play of that game. Just so crazy how the primetime games worked out in Week 9. But this Tampa game, the offensive line could not protect Tom Brady at all. I mean, he was under heavy pressure all Sunday night. And I'm kind of, you know, wondering, is the book now out on Tampa? Was it just a one-off? I'm not sure. But not only do you have to worry, if you're Tampa, how to protect Tom Brady, if you own any of these receivers, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, if you own any of these guys, how do you start, you know, managing expectations? How far do you have to pull them in, given that, you know, Brady's going to want to throw to not only all three of those guys, but Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette, Rob Gronkowski, Cameron Brady's going to want to throw to all those guys as well. Have you start reining in your expectations for those individual pass-catching Buccaneers now?
Well, you know, I live in the Tampa area, and Sunday night was definitely a disappointing game. But at the same time, you know, their offensive line was missing a very key component in Ali Marpet, who's, you know, he's the foundation of that offensive line. And then you can't underestimate, you know, the Saints defensive line is incredible. And I think Tom Brady's going to have a bounce back next week. He's playing Carolina. I think he's going to be back to his normal self, and I think the receivers are going to get their catches. But what I really like about Tom Brady, and I've drafted, you know, living in Tampa, I've drafted him in about half of my leagues. And looking at weeks 14 through 16, which is, you know, obviously the playoffs for the FFPC and the Football Guys Championships, you know, the schedule is they play the Lions, the Vikings, and the Falcons. And the Falcons, you know, they're the worst defense as far as giving up passing touchdowns. The Minnesota Vikings are the fourth worst, and the Lions are the seventh worst. I did some homework before this. And so, you know, I really like that, and I think that by the time he's got some chemistry with Antonio Brown and hopefully Godwin stays healthy, I really, really think that Tom Brady is going to be the number one quarterback for those 3 weeks. That's my bold prediction anyway, and that's my unbiased bold prediction, is that he's going to be the best quarterback to have for the fantasy football playoffs. And, you know, I really am, you know, I'm really hoping that that holds true, obviously, but I think it will. You know, Ali Marpet just had a concussion last week, and he's going to be back hopefully this week. If not this week, he'll be back next week. And hopefully they can stay, the offensive line can stay healthy, and we don't have a repeat of Sunday's game. And I just don't see that happening. So I'd feel completely confident with starting Godwin and Evans. And you know, I'm not too sure about Antonio Brown yet. We'll see what happens with that. But for sure, I'm confident in starting Godwin and Evans moving forward.
You mentioned it. It's coming up on crunch time. Before the three-week championship sprint, right before that, we have the league playoffs, league championships. But the next 2 weeks, obviously, the final 2 weeks in the FFPC and Football Guys regular seasons, you got to get these start-sits right. If you've ever needed them to be right all season, it has never been more important than right now thus far. When you come to a decision, Clay, where you just don't know which guy to flex out, when you don't know which guy to start as your second running back, when you don't know which guy to put in at quarterback or your receiver, or last receiver, or tight end, how do you break ties? What do you do when you know it's one of those decisions where you're thinking about for days leading up to it? How do you finally decide on who to start when these lineup decisions are, you know, have never been more important than they are right now?
Yeah, so, you know, again, I talk to my buddy Jordan. We go through Messenger on Sunday mornings. We have a couple teams together, and then we help each other out with the teams that we don't have together. And usually, you know, brainstorming, we come up with the right choices, but we still miss at the same time a lot of times. Like, for instance, this week, one of our FFPC leagues, we, you know, we said, okay, we're going to start two out of three. We had Jerry Judy, Russell Gage, and J.K. Dobbins. And we decided, well, Russell Gage, okay, Ridley's out, So, you know, Gates should get a ton of balls. J.K. Dobbins, Mark Ingram's out. Figure he's going to be a big factor. And Jerry Jeudy, well, Tim Patrick's back, so we kind of, you know, held off our expectations on Jeudy. So of the, you know, the two players we started were Gage and Dobbins. And then, of course, you know, Jeudy has the game of his life while we sit Gage and Dobbins on the bench. That happens, but, you know, just normally just talking through things with him and then looking at, I guess, what the experts predict. You know, I've got a few websites that I've subscribed to among football guys. And I just kind of see what they all have to say, and I make my decision based on the expert picks and then brainstorming with Jordan. And usually, you know, again, I'd say not all the time do I predict what is the best lineup, but 60% of the time, you know, after talking to Jordan and looking at those expert picks, we're usually right.
I'm the same way as you when it comes to do that. Like, the way I set my lineups every week is I basically will, you know, take a look at different ranking sites from a lot of the places that I subscribe to, that I believe in, that have worked out for me before. RotoViz, Football Guys, Draft Sharks. I mean, there's been so many over the years, and ones that I still check now. RotoBaller, Roster Watch. I mean, the list goes on. But there will be times when I'll be looking at all these, you know, what the analysts are saying, and I'll be like, I don't see it. I can't get behind that. And then I'll think, okay, you know, am I overthinking or underthinking this? Are they in the right? Because I am way off base on their line of thinking here. But usually what it comes down to is, you know, these are my teams. I have to live and die with the decisions that I make, not what somebody else is saying. So by and large, you know, the obvious ones are obvious. But when it comes down to it, unless I have a really bad feeling about my line of thinking, I usually go with what I think when it comes down to it. Sometimes, now, the experts have saved me over the years, for sure, from decisions that I'm like, well, you know, I think this is the right play. But literally everybody else has it the other way. I'm probably going to go the other way, and I'm probably off on this. And that's not always a hard and fast rule, but that's the way it's worked out for me over the years, too. It's one of those things where it's an art, and I don't think we'll ever figure it out officially. I don't think anybody, no matter how good you are, has you know, lineup position, starting and sitting, figured that out completely either. You probably already have all your waiver bids set for Wednesday night as the waiver deadline slated to go through here in a few minutes in the FFPC main event, Football Guys Players Championship. Who are some of the high-priority waiver bids you made as we head into this week? Or do you not have a whole lot of money to manage and push around with in your leagues right now, Clay?
Well, first of all, I'm pretty good about saving my money, and I do have a lot of money to tinker with. And it really depends on the league. Like, there's one league where Curtis Samuel is available, so I put in a pretty good bid on him. Christian Kirk was available in another league, and I put in a pretty good bid on him. The guy that's out there in pretty much every league that I put not a sizable bid, but I put in a moderate bid in is Ryan Nall. You know, David Montgomery, he just does not look himself this whole year at all to me, as far as the Bears are concerned. You know, I know that, you know, the past 2 years he's looked really explosive, and I know in Iowa, I remember the stat coming out of Iowa State is he, in his senior year, made the most guys miss out of every running back that came out that year. And it kind of carried over the first 2 years as far as Montgomery's concerned. But this year, you know, it seems like if a fly lands on him, he goes down. And I just think that I think that he's still kind of hurt. That groin injury that he had preseason has been affecting him still. That's, you know, my opinion. I don't have any proof of that. But Ryan Nall for – you know, the last 8 minutes that he was in there for Chicago, this last game, he looked really good. And, you know, even if Montgomery plays, I still think Nall is the better player, and I can see him getting some action this week. And if Montgomery doesn't play because of his concussion, then that makes Nall even more valuable. So that's one guy that I'm kind of pegged on. Duke Johnson's available in a couple weeks. I put some bids in on him. Tyler Eifert is another guy. You know, you got the inexperienced quarterback, and they generally kind of dump down to their tight ends, and they're going to be playing from behind, I'm sure of it, because of you know, they're playing the Packers. So that's another guy that I've kind of put a bid in on, and I guess that those are my guys that I've been on so far.
Yeah, Ryan Nall's an interesting guy too, because he's one of the, you know, you see that, oh, he's 6'2", 240, big bruising white guy out of Oregon State. No, he caught four passes for 35 yards, including a touchdown. He's the rare, you know, pass catching white bruising running back. You know, there's not too many of those around anymore, and Nall could be a big one on Sunday. We'll see what happens when they take on Minnesota, for sure. So Nall is interesting. I like that call. Final question we have for you, Clay, before I let you enjoy the rest of your evening and the rest of your week and all the Week 10 games. A sleeper that you think not a lot of players will be starting, but that needs to be in your lineup for Week 10, as well as a guy on the flip side of the coin that a lot of people probably will start, but is probably going to boss, probably going to disappoint owners that have him going this weekend.
Yeah, so this is probably the most unpredictable question of the night, but I like Jamal Williams for a sleeper. I know Aaron Jones is back, and they're playing the Jags, but I fully expect that the Green Bay Packers, they're probably going to be up significantly by halftime. They're not playing the Houston Texans this week, so and I don't think that they're going to do as good as they did last week with that Luton guy. I don't really even know much about him.
Jake Luton, yeah. Nobody does.
Yeah. So I think Jamal Williams. The problem, I mean, Green Bay is always careful about injuries, and Aaron Jones has got that calf injury. So I think Jamal Williams might play the entire second half. And if he doesn't play the entire second half, I fully anticipate he's going to get quite a few touches regardless. And, you know, it's Jacksonville, so I think he'll do good against them. So that's my guy that I'm plugging in the lineups. I own him in quite a few leagues. So, you know, again, probably biased there, but that's the guy I'm thinking is a good sleeper this week. And the guy that I think that I'm going to sit, whether he plays or not, that I have in a few leagues, is Joe Mixon, you know, going against the Steelers. You know, he's coming off that foot injury. He didn't play that good prior to the foot injury, and Pittsburgh's got a darn good defense. If he doesn't play, you know, even if Gio plays instead of him, I'll probably still bench Gio. That's the guy, Cincinnati backfield is who I'm going to sit this week.
One guy we will never sit on this podcast, we always start him. It's Clay Corcoran from the sixth place finisher in the Football Guys Players Championship in 2017. Bigger and better things on the way for you, no doubt, Clay. Thank you so much for carving out a little time in your schedule this week to sit and talk shop, talk a little fantasy football with me. I certainly appreciate it. Enjoy Week 10, and good luck the rest of the way, man.
Well, thank you, Eric, and I appreciate you having me on, and good luck to your teams too.
Thank you for listening to the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. And thanks to Grapes for our theme music. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the RotoViz Radio feed. It helps us find new listeners. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think. And follow us on Twitter @RotoVizRadio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.